Well, good morning. I want to begin with just a brief update. As you are aware, Pastor Bill is over in Nigeria ministering there. He gets back on the 20th later this week, and we're looking forward to hearing what the Lord's been doing there when he gets back to share with us next week. If you have your bulletin, he put a few things in there, was able to communicate some things. Praise God, he's sleeping well. That's always an important thing on the mission field in these kind of trips where it's just go, 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 go. So praise the Lord, he is able to be in good health and getting some sleep. Some powerful times of ministry in the Word, powerful times of the prophetic Word coming forth and confirming things there with those people in that place. Just continue to remember him in your prayers for continual health and good sleep. Continue to remember him in your prayers for that anointing to continue to bring forth that prophetic word and whatever else the Lord would want to bring through him to that place. So just remember him throughout this week, these last few days. He has meetings every day. So just be remembering him in your prayers. And let's just join together in prayer right now for him. Father, we pray for Pastor Bill. Father, we thank you for the example he is to us, Lord, as one whom you've called to go, and he goes, Lord, as he is ministering now in Nigeria with Brother Ema and those in that place. Father, we just pray for continual ministry by your Spirit, for the anointing to continue to flow through him, Father, bringing forth that word of prophetic ministry to that place, your word of truth, your word of power. May there be signs and wonders following to confirm your word, Father, in that place. Father, we thank you for Brother Ema and the ministry there. We just continue to believe for Pastor Brill to bring a refreshing to him, that he would not grow weary in well-doing in that place where it can be difficult with the depths of corruption. But Father, we know the depths of your Spirit can provide favor where it is needed, Father. Provision, Father, all that is needed. Father, we just thank you for that ministry. We thank you for the opportunity for Pastor Bill to be there at this time. And we look forward to him being brought back to us safely and to hear the testimonies from him in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible to John 14. John 14. So this past Friday evening, my family and I, we had a wonderful movie night together. Our boys stayed up longer than they usually do. And trying to find a decent movie nowadays isn't always easy, even for kids. So we're perusing through Netflix and come across one called Bolt. Anybody ever heard of the movie Bolt? So it's, spoiler alert, you're going to hear about that movie off and on throughout today. Because it relates, it's this dog who was adopted by this little girl, and years later, this girl and this dog are stars on this TV series within the movie we're watching. But what they've done is they've raised this dog to believe that the reality of the TV show is real life. The dog knows nothing about the outside real world. He believes that the TV show and the reality that's in there, that's portrayed, is reality. And these superpowers of laser beams out of his eyes and the super bark and all these things are real. Now, to us, obviously, and those on the outside in the movie know that it's not. But it's this journey. Then something happens. He escapes from the TV set. Now he's out in the real world. But he's still thinking he has these powers. He's still thinking that the reality of the show is the reality in life, and it's not. And the movie's about a journey that he experiences, quite a rude awakening. But it's a great question for us, and it ties in perfectly with today's message. What is reality? In John 14, look in verse 6. It's a very familiar verse. And he's talking to his disciples. In verse 6, he says unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That word truth means reality. Let me say it this way. That word truth means the unveiled reality lying at the basis of and agreeing with an appearance. So it's not just an appearance that has no reality. For example, shadows. Shadows can give an appearance of something, but you find out later it's not real. I remember we go camping every year, and this past year, walking back at night after we got our showers in the bathhouse with my son Andrew holding hands, holding our flashlights, walking back the path to our campsite, and it's dark. And as we're walking, we stop. It looked like we saw some things moving on the ground, on the road. So we stop, shine our lights. It was just a stick. It wasn't anything. See, light reveals reality. You're going to hear that throughout this message. Light reveals reality. So a few years ago, camping at the same place, before Andrew was born, so we're just going to bed, and we hear some rustling outside. So I get my flashlight and pop my head out, and I see something unusual. I see one of our coolers being dragged back into the woods. And the only thing I could see was two claws around the side dragging it back. My eyes get big. I look over to where my in-laws, Katie's parents, are staying. And he's looking at the same thing. He looks over at me and says, well, we should do something about this. So we get our pots and pans and bang, and he runs away. Again, light revealed reality. I didn't know what was really out there, a squirrel, a raccoon, but it was a bear. Light can reveal reality, what is real and what is unreal. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I like how the message says it. It says, I am the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in darkness. I provide plenty of light to live in. But then he takes it a step further in Matthew 5 when he says, you are the light of the world. Philippians 2, it says, we are to shine as lights in this world. And then there's a verse in 1 John that really brings it together and really challenges us and reveals God's expectation for us. He says, walk in the light as he is in the light. Today's message is really about what light, what reality did Jesus walk in? Let's look at that first. And then what light, what reality are you walking in? And then how can we walk in the light as he is in the light? So those three kind of sections we're going to try and look at here. I want to just share one thing first. Turn the tables on a certain perspective that is prevalent in the world, but also even among many Christian communities. And that is this bubble mentality. Some have this mentality, well, those raised in a Christian school or even maybe a Christian home are raising their kids in this bubble where it's going to hinder them, a disservice, for them to be able to function in the real world. Well, I challenge that simply with God's word. It is completely backwards. If Jesus is the light, if he is the reality, it is only the Christians who are walking in reality, and everybody else are the ones in a bubble of darkness who need to be let out of it. We are not doing a disservice. We are doing exactly what we need to do to raise our children and to position ourselves to walk in the light. But that's all that they know. They only know darkness. So to them, that's their reality. And it is a reality for them. But it is not the reality. Jesus is the reality. So if you are ever questioned or wondering, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing a disservice to my children to not let them do this that the world does, or to make them do this, like go to church or read your Bible or whatever it would be? No, you are doing exactly, you are leading them into the reality that will position them to be a light, to lead others out of darkness. That's what he's called us to do. So let's look at what reality did Jesus walk in? And we see all throughout, he says, I am one with the Father. I am one with the Father. In John 14, 9, he says, he that has seen the Father, see, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He came and he revealed the Father. Apart from Jesus, the Father, Father God, was this guy who was up on a mountain with Moses and lots of black clouds and thunder and lightning and gave 10 commandments. And they know his power, but they haven't gotten to know him. Jesus came first and foremost to reveal the Father. And one of the ways he did that is he revealed his character by revealing the Father's values. What is it we are to pursue in life? What is most valuable to God? Because what's most valuable to him in his reality should be what is most valuable to all those who claim to follow after him. 1 Timothy 2:4, when God says he desires all men to be saved. It wasn't a slip up in words. It was exactly a revelation of his highest value. And we see all throughout Jesus' life where he says things like, I came to seek and save the lost. I came as a great physician to heal those that are sick, not those that don't need a physician. He came to pursue the lost, to pursue people. Does that mean everybody's going to be saved? No. God gave people the ability to accept or reject him. But he brought the light so they have the opportunity to be led out of darkness. And we see over and over and over again this phrase, and Jesus was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. For what? By what? By his pursuit of people. So when he encountered people in need, and you always notice what follows? Some miraculous sign or wonder. God's power follows those who are pursuing what he wants them to pursue. Moved with compassion. What moves us? What moves us to the depths of our soul that we will move heaven and earth to do something or to get something or to acquire something or to pursue something? What is it in our lives, in your life, that moves you so completely in a way that it moved Jesus? That's what it means to walk. One of the things, to walk in the light, to walk in the reality Jesus did, is to begin to see things as he sees, act as he acted, pursue what he pursues, be moved by the things that move him, and not just walk by those that are lost or not even have the thought on any given day, oh, I didn't really think about anybody I was around today. Are they lost? Are they not? Do I care? Do I not care? But to be moved constantly by that. It will interrupt your lives. People were constantly interrupting Jesus wherever he was going. He was going to rest. I'm tired. People came, and he was moved, and God moved. That is what it means to walk in the reality that Jesus did. Something else that we see in the life of Jesus, he not only revealed God's values, he also revealed how we are to live and pursue those values. You know, the right thing pursued in the wrong way can be the wrong thing. Now, the right thing is for me to communicate with my wife. But if I'm attempting to communicate to her at the wrong time, it's probably the wrong thing. You have to discern that question as to how as well. And there's two things we see in Jesus. Through his complete dependency on God, he operated completely out of an attitude of humility and actions of 100% complete obedience. Over and over, he said in the scriptures, I only do what my Father shows me. I only do what I see my Father do. I only do this. That's complete humility. But I ask the question, why? Why was he so willing to be so completely yielded to the Father? Look here in John chapter 12. Just back maybe a page in my Bible. John 12, verse 49 and 50. John 12, 49 and 50. And it says, Jesus is speaking, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. There's that humility. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, I speak. Verse 50, and I know. So why was he so willingly yielded to the Father? Because he knew his commandment is life everlasting. You know, Peter said the same things to Jesus. In John chapter 6, Jesus said some pretty tough things to people, like, eat my flesh, drink my blood, if you want to be a part of me. And some literally interpreted that as that he's some cannibal. But he goes on and says, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. The flesh profits nothing. So drink my blood, eat my flesh. It's not going to profit you anything. You're missing the point. It's the words. It's the spirit that I carry if you partake of that. But many disciples left him. So he turns to the 12 and says, are you going to leave also? And what did Peter say? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. They recognized, he did, the same thing about Jesus' words as Jesus did about the Father. For Peter, whether he understood them all or not was irrelevant. He understood the source that was speaking them was the source that were everything that was spoken. Whether understood yet or not was life and carried life with it. That's why Hebrews 4 says, the word of God is alive, life-giving, and powerful. Think about it. Genesis. So he spoke. Let there be light. Think about that kind of power. That's the same power Jesus walked in. That's why he was so unconditionally yielded to the Father. And we see something that can help us with that. There in Matthew 4, when Jesus is being tempted by the devil, he quotes something the very first time that Moses said back in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And that is this. And in this context, is Moses is recounting the journey of Israel. They're about to enter the promised land. And he's talking to them about why God led them into the wilderness. And he says, so he, God, humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know something very important. Something that Jesus grasped and lived by and was the reason he could completely yield to the Father. That man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the reality Jesus lived in. That reality, every word. You know, we have the word of God here. But do we realize they're more than just words printed on a page? They are alive and powerful. They can do everything. God says he watches over his word to perform it, that it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish everything that he pleases and prosper in it. Every, all. There's no exceptions to those words. Everything, everything, everything. So not only did he operate through complete obedience, but complete submission and humility, but complete actions of obedience. People were asking him wherever he'd go, please stay longer with us. And he would say, no, I have to go on here. Or what about Lazarus? Come, he's sick. Okay, I'll be there in a couple days. Well, he gets there and Lazarus is dead. So they saw. What did Jesus see? What in reality did Jesus walk in? I caused him to, how did he respond to that? He said this in John 11, 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. No, Jesus, he's dead. He's been dead. He even stinks a little bit now. What are you talking about? My words are spirit and they are life. He ever says something like to somebody who you're dealing with sickness and they say, how are you doing? Ah, bless God, I'm healed. Okay. And you get that same response from them that they might have given to Jesus here. What reality is Jesus walking in? And remember, you can't reap the benefits of Jesus' reality unless you're walking in that light, in that reality. Jesus walked in it. And so what happened? We all know Lazarus. He spoke and he was raised from the dead. Again, he spoke. His words are alive. Do you believe they are alive and can work in your life, in any situation, in any circumstance, great or small, regardless of how man responds? They are alive. His actions of obedience. You know, obedience is evidence of your love for God. I'm so tired of hearing people, not meaning lack of patience, just meaning hearing people saying, coming against obedience, it's just works, it's hindering from me wanting to live the way I want to live. There's this negative connotation with obedience. But when you realize what Jesus realized in his reality, God is life. Over and over he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. you'll keep my commands if you love me. Just read John 14, read John 15, read John 16. And that's just a starting point, over and over and over. If you say you love me, obey me. Not just for works, oh, check it off my list. No, because this is God's word is alive and powerful, and it can bring to pass amazing things in your life if you simply yield to it and believe it and walk in it. In 1 John 5:3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous," which means burdensome. It is not a burden to obey. But that's the world's mentality. Oh, I'm a Christian. I got to do this, and I got to act this way, and I got to do this. And they're putting the attention on the what rather than the who. When you acknowledge the who, God is love. His word is alive and powerful, and all the amazing things that come with that. It isn't even a question or a hesitation to do what he says. Psalm 25, David said, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth." There's that word truth again, reality. "That I may walk in it. For you are the God of my salvation, and I wait on you all day long." So we're looking at this first part of what reality did Jesus walk in? We all know a lot of the examples of where he demonstrated power and authority. He taught in their temples and synagogues, and they would marvel and say, "He teaches as one with authority." He commanded their attention. He drew them in. Forgiving sins, walking on water, calming the storm, raising the dead, healing the sick, healing the lame, casting out demons, and the list can go on and on. It's not about what he did, but realize those things all happened because they were in line with his pursuit of God's value on people. And they were just what was required along that pursuit. We shouldn't pursue to walk on water, pursue to raise the dead, pursue to calm the storm, pursue to heal the sick. We pursue God's people, and when a need arises, God will move. That's how it works. We don't pursue the miracle, we pursue the people. And that's when God moves. So that second question, then, what light, what reality are we walking in today? We see what light Jesus has walked in, what reality he's walked in. What are we walking in? Again, there in Matthew 5, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Notice a couple things here. Look at that first phrase. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. When you set something somewhere, it's on purpose. It's intentional. You are set before the eyes of people in this world on purpose. I had somebody once say to me, "My walk with the Lord is a private matter." My response was, if it's a private matter, then God doesn't know about it either. Because your life is not meant to be a private matter, hiding your light under a bushel. Why would you do that? You have a light for a reason, to lead others out of darkness into that same light of Christ. He has set you with purpose, intentionally, before the eyes of the world. He set this city on a hill, not down a valley where some can see it, but where all could see it. And he set us as well in this world, around those that we are around, to lead them out of darkness and into the light. In the last part where it says, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify" who? Should I boast in my ability to do whatever it is? We all have different unique gifts and strengths and talents. Are they given to us to boast in ourselves? Are they given to us to draw attention? Wow, look at Shane, or look at Bill, or look at whoever. Fill in your name in that blank. Who is attention drawn to? For the glory of God. That's why you have a light. Any other light that you shine and draws attention to anyone but God is simply darkness. It will not lead to the right place. What light or reality are we walking in? Turn to John 16. Spending a lot of time in John. John 16, verse 13. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, there's that same word truth again, that reality, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will lead you into the same reality he led Jesus into. It's the same spirit as was then, as is today, and that same spirit can lead us into the same reality that he led Jesus into, he leads others into, that reality of that complete dependency upon God, the pursuit of people, and where miraculous and amazing things can happen when they're needed, along the line of being a light and drawing people out of darkness. But the Spirit is the one that will guide us. That's how we get there. John 14, Jesus says, if you believe on Jesus, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can do the same works in you and through you that he did in Jesus? Can God use you to walk on water if it's to get to a place that he's calling you to go? Can God use you to bring sight to the blind, healing to the sick? Can God use you in any of those ways? Yes, he can. He will. He wants to. Again, it's not about looking at the things that he did, the works. It's looking at what he pursued. And those things were in purpose along the way. You can only experience the same works as Jesus if you are walking in the same light or reality as Jesus. But there are some hindrances that keep us from walking in the light. In the book of Galatians, Paul begins to bring some correction to the church there, which I think bears witness to us at this point, just a couple things. Galatians 5:7, he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth or that you should not walk in the reality or the light that you once did? How many of us know Christians, professing Christians, who are no longer walking in the light they once did? For whatever reason. Probably all know somebody. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. You know, your eyes determine the reality you walk in. But do you think Jesus was referring to the literal physical eye? Remember, he said so much, so often, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. Do you see through the eyes of flesh or the eyes of faith? See, your eyes don't create reality. They simply interpret the reality around you. They don't create that reality. They interpret it. So the question is, what reality are our eyes, are we seeing through? The eyes of faith or the eyes of flesh? In Mark 8, in verse 18, Jesus says to him at one point, having eyes, do you not see? So he's not just talking about physical eyes, but the eyes of the Spirit, our spiritual eyes. In John 4, he says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say, or I see, lift up your eyes, look at the fields. They are ready now. Again, He's saying, guys, you're looking with the wrong set of eyes. You're not seeing what you need to see. John 11, where I quoted, he talked about Lazarus. This sickness is not unto death. No physical eyes. He's been dead for a few days, Lazarus. Spiritual eyes? No. God's will is for him to be raised from the dead. So that's what I say. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now catch this last part. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are always things going on in the realm of the spirit all the time that will occasionally manifest in the realm of the natural. But the spirit always precedes and supersedes the natural. Are we seeing and interpreting life in light of this earthly reality or in light of the reality that Jesus walked in? Or we could ask the question, what is influencing our eyes? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good morals. We could say bad influences corrupt good morals. Bad influences. There is a law, the law of sowing and reaping, Paul talks about there in Galatians. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption. But who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So I ask you, what are you sowing before your eyes? Are you surrounding your eyes with influences of things that will be of truth? Things that will stir up faith? Or influences of things that will counter that, will hinder that? In the parable of the sower, those weeds that will come up and choke the word of God in your life, keep you from walking and living in the reality he's called you to. There's a reason in Deuteronomy 6, it says this, and we're saying about training and teaching your children, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you, and then get them inside of your children. This is the Message version. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home, walking in the streets, talking about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall in bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on your doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. I'm not overly opposed to literally doing that. If that's what it takes for me to create the reality, not only for me, but for my children to be immersed in the reality that God wants them to walk in, that's the picture that's being painted here. He's not saying do these things just so for the sake of doing them. He's saying do them so that you create the reality that I want you to live in. That's why it says there about John 15, abide in me. Abide, abide. That means to make your place of dwelling. You know, that doesn't mean a physical place. I can take God's word with me wherever I go. I can take that wherever I am. So my home, my abiding is wherever I am. I can take it with me. And we have no excuse now today with cell phones and iPads and everything else. It is right at our fingertips. What music is on in our cars? What music is on in the workplace? What books are we reading? What movies are we watching? What conversations are we having? What is influencing us? That will shape the reality you live in and you walk in, for better or for worse. That's reality. And we have to decide which reality we're going to walk in. We are to raise our children to walk in the same light or reality as Jesus did, and they will learn to expect the same results as Jesus did. And the same for us. We cannot expect to see the same works that Jesus did if we're refusing to walk in the same reality that he did. If we want the same results, we have to walk in the same light and in the same reality as he did. That's how it works. So how do we walk in the same light, in the same reality as Jesus? Again, back to that movie Bolt I was telling about at the beginning. He had a tough time there for a while. He did try to use his superpowers out in the real world. They did not work at all. He almost got killed. He got injured numerous times. And finally, he realized, as he was trying to deny it, finally, he had to come to a place of accepting. You know what? I've been deceived my whole life. And he dealt with, for a dog, a realm of depression. It's a movie, so it wasn't a whole long time. You know, just anxiety, just all the things that we can deal with when we realize our whole world is shattered. But he came to a place of accepting reality. And then and only then could he excel. And once he embraced true reality, then he was able to do some amazing things. In fact, he ended up at the end of the movie, I told you a spoiler alert, he saved a little girl from certain doom as the building was on fire and he had a big dramatic ending of a movie. But if he would have attempted to do what he did and when he first got out in the real world, using his super bark or laser beam eyes and staring at a lock till it burns and melts away, he would have ended up being killed as he almost was then. But when he stopped trying to operate in that wrong reality and operate in the right one, then he could do amazing things and he saved a girl's life. Now that's just a movie, but what a lesson it can teach us. The same thing for us when it comes to the realm of the Spirit of God and what he wants us to do. We have to accept who we are and the lifestyle he's called us to and be willing to adjust our lifestyle. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, as Jesus did, in complete humility and obedience to the Father. Present your bodies in that way, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That renewing of your mind is that element of what influences are you surrounding yourself with? What are you sowing? If you sow into the flesh, you'll reap corruption. That's exactly what the world's doing. And they are corrupt and corrupted and corrupting. Or if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. You will reap the same things Jesus did in the reality he walked in. I mentioned this earlier, John 8, where he says, if you abide in my word, you will know, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. That word truth again, reality. You will know the reality. How? If you are abiding in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It will free you from how much this world limits you, how much stumbling around in darkness, dealing with the same problems the world deals with and having the same results and outcomes. No, you abide in the word, you renew your mind, you begin to see through the eyes of faith, you will begin to position yourself to experience the same works that Jesus did in the reality he walked in. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, or nobody can experience the same reality I am unless you come through me. He is the true reality. He is the light of the world. Light reveals reality. If you are not walking in the light of Christ, you are walking in darkness. You know, Christians can choose to walk in darkness. You might be born again. You might have that light within you. But if you're not renewing your mind, you are walking in darkness. You're going to experience the same things everybody else in darkness experiences. And more so, the same outcomes. We might experience some of the same things. Christians might get sick, might deal with certain symptoms, but we don't have to have the same outcome. This world has plenty of facts, but there's only one truth. And that truth is the Word of God alone. You are a city set on a hill. God's put you where he wants you so your light can shine for those around you. It doesn't matter how they respond. I guarantee you how they will likely respond when a rubber meets the road and they're hitting a hard time. They might just come back to you. Hey, that person sounds like they might actually know what's going on in life or have a solution or have a source of hope or truth or something to help. People get desperate. That can turn people back to those who had some kind of a light that was different than their own. You are a city set on a hill for all to see. Don't hide your light. Abide in the word. Renew your mind to the truth, the reality, the light that Jesus walked in. Sow seeds of faith into your spirit. You'll begin to then see through the eyes of faith. And then you will walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. There is such a reality that God's made available to us. It wasn't exclusive to Jesus. Now, his lordship, that was exclusive to Jesus. But the light he walked in, he's given to us. He's made available for us to walk in that same light. Why? So we can boast in ourselves? No, so we can accomplish and pursue the same things Jesus did. It's all about the pursuit. But that light is what we need. Walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. I guarantee even today you're going to encounter some kind of a circumstance where maybe your habit of the way you would respond would be murmuring or complaining or just being frustrated. If you're renewing yourself to the Word of God, what is God's Word that is alive and powerful say about your situation? Confess it, abide in it, believe it. It can work. It will work. But we have to believe it and walk in it ourselves. Do that today.